You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up after 7, it's this week's edition of Snap Judgment, with more intriguing stories about the defining moments in people's lives. That's tonight after 7, here on the Ideas Network.
First, many movements and philosophies that look at capitalism and the market focus on the production end of the equation. There are efforts to promote organic and humane food production or to make sure that agricultural and food workers get a living wage.
There is not as much focus on what happens with the products after they enter the market, whether that's a grocery store or a restaurant. And when there is, it often centers on individual behaviors, like being vegetarian or vegan.
Well, one group of people is calling all of that into question. They say that with 40% of the food produced in the United States ending up in the garbage, there needs to be a fundamental shift in the system. They say that includes taking a hard look at what's considered garbage and waste.
Alex Barnard joins us now. He's a doctoral candidate in sociology at the University of California, Berkeley, and a food justice activist. He's the author of Freegans, Diving into the Wealth of Food Waste in America. Alex, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So, Alex, first of all, let's talk about that term freegan, and it's spelled F-R-E-E-G-A-N for people who aren't familiar with it. What does it mean?
Well, there's certainly no official definition of freegan, so I can just tell you, you know, what the people I met meant when they used the term. So it's a term that started as kind of a combination of the words free and vegan. So the idea of veganism is that if you object to the way animals are treated, you should stop buying animal products. And freeganism was sort of an extension to that, to say if you object more generally to the way things are produced in our economic system, you should stop buying anything. But, you know, to try and make it a little more precise, you know, I studied a particular group of people calling themselves freegans in New York City. And what they were most known for doing was actually dumpster diving food, so taking food that was discarded mostly by supermarkets or other retailers, and recovering it as sort of an act of protest against the waste in our food system.
So you said that the second half of freegan comes from vegan, and it also rhymes, so it goes together nicely. Are all freegans vegan?
Not necessarily. One thing that I found in my research, though, was that a lot of people came to freeganism through the pathway of veganism. And as it turned out, as I delved further into it, I discovered that was a really important part of the story, which is that things like veganism are part of kind of a wave of, you know, what we could call ethical consumption. It's people who have decided that sort of their best way to find a way to change the world, to contribute to positive change is through buying things. It's through buying things differently, whether it's buying things that are organic, buying things that are vegan, buying things that are fair trade. And freegans, often they started off, you know, seeing that as the solution. But as time went on, they became more and more disillusioned with that. They began to doubt whether, as individual consumers buying sort of what was on offer, deciding to buy the organic produce rather than the conventional produce, they began to doubt whether or not that was really going to change things. And so a lot of them wound up moving beyond veganism. And the thing that triggered that switch was actually discovering that there's all this waste. Because if you think about it, the idea behind ethical consumption is that, you know, if you decide you're going to buy kale rather than bacon, the company is going to take account of your preference that you express at the cash register, and they're going to transform their production to take into account of that change in the demand for products. But what we see with waste is that markets aren't nearly that efficient, actually, that what gets produced in our food system isn't actually sort of a natural and rapid reflection of what people want. And that realization was something that led freegans to look for sort of more radical types of activism.
So let's dive into waste, so to speak, focusing on food, because there's so much that we could talk about. But I think food is a really important aspect of this. How much food is estimated to be wasted in the U.S. every year?
Well, it's a little bit fuzzy because part of it depends on how you decide to define waste. So, for example, there are some people who say it's a waste that we feed grain to animals, because if you give a cow, you know, 8 calories of grain, you're only going to get 1 calorie of beef in response. But if you say take sort of the conventional definition of waste, you know, food that was produced for people but doesn't wind up getting eaten by people, it's about 40% of food production in the U.S. you know, if you think that the average person eats about 2,000 calories per person per day, imagine that means about 1,500 calories per person per day are produced in the United States and never eaten.
And on the other hand, I believe that the figures are about 1 in 6 people in the U.S. suffers from hunger or lack of access to enough food.
Yes. So, you know, obviously we have this, you know, this paradox of a system that produces at the same time a lot of scarcity and a lot of excess. And in fact, those two are related in the sense that we have a system that is ultimately focused around, you know, production for profit rather than thinking about, you know, what people actually need. And that's sort of one of the things that Freegans were protesting against.
So, Alex, you talk about the fact that we're taught that the capitalist system is based on efficiency and profit, both of which on the surface would seem to be the opposite of waste. But you actually say that waste is, in fact, a key part and an essential part of today's capitalism. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, well, again, these are realizations that came out of my research, that came out of the time I spent from Freegans and listening to them and trying to understand what made this possible. Because there is something that seems totally irrational about the fact that Freeganism is something that you can do. Because it would seem to make sense that, you know, if stores are producing too much, why wouldn't they just produce a little bit less, save on their costs, and therefore make a bigger profit? And what I discovered is that, you know, sadly, when you look in the dumpsters, you realize that producing waste is part of the business model in our food system. And sadly, it's a rational profit-making decision for a lot of companies. I think the best example is baked goods. So, you know, I was doing my research in New York City, so there's a Dunkin' Donuts about every 10 feet there. And every night you can find just about every flavor of donut that you could possibly imagine outside those stores. So why is it that those stores don't just produce some fewer donuts? And the answer is, you know, that the raw materials for those products are so cheap because of farm subsidies, because of, you know, how little that we pay laborers in the food system, that they can actually afford to overproduce donuts or cakes or what have you. And they do that so that if somebody comes in 5 minutes before the store closes, they'll have whatever flavor of donut that person could demand. So it's actually a profit making strategy, but one with these sort of, you know, that produces waste, but even more seriously has these ecological consequences of all the resources that are going to produce food that we don't actually wind up eating.
And in the book, Alex, you talk about the fact that people in retail grocery industries will admit that they would much rather waste, I think it's 15%, they assume a waste of 15% of their product instead of losing that one customer who might, because they don't find a donut in their store, go down that block or two blocks and buy a donut somewhere else and maybe just keep going to that other place after.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to emphasize it's not because store managers or store employees or corporate executives are necessarily malicious. We live in an economic system where the thing that we demand from our companies is that they're profitable. And it's a very competitive market. The entire food system is extremely competitive. Traditional grocery stores are facing, on the one hand, competition from stores like Walmart, and they're, you know, that traditionally didn't sell food. And they're also facing competition from people who are eating out more. And so they're afraid of losing customers. And they're afraid that if somebody comes in and is not satisfied with their customer experience, they're going to go elsewhere. So that's part of why it's so important for stores to create this image that they're selling abundance, that they have unlimited choice. And it's at the same time the image that the Freegans were trying to challenge by recovering this food and displaying it publicly and showing sort of this darker underbelly of, you know, the abundance that our food system would seem to provide.
We're talking with Alex Barnard. He's the author of Freegans, Diving into the Wealth of Food Waste in America.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see this level of food waste in your life, maybe in your work? Do you think our guest is right that we should be taking a closer look at food waste in America, how we decide if an item is a valuable commodity or ends up being garbage? Can you imagine, have you taken cast-off food home to eat, maybe from out behind the donut or the grocery store? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're continuing our conversation about food waste and reclaiming products that in another setting would be desirable purchases. Our guest is Alex Barnard, author of Freegans, Diving into the Wealth of Food Waste in America. Now, Alex, you talked about in your book how the Freegan principles are actually very close to our country's earlier generations' values. How does that put together for you?
Well, I think that, you know, this was something that the Freegans themselves evoked, that on the one hand, they were, you know, very radical people who denounced capitalism. Some of them claimed they were anarchists. But on the other hand, you know, when they're talking about the idea of thrift and non-wasting and careful conservation of resources, you know, they themselves would say, you know, these aren't values that seem that radical, actually. You know, these are the values of our grandparents' generation. And perhaps that's a somewhat idealized portrait of the way things used to be. But it is true that, you know, the amount of food waste that we see, you know, according to the statistics, has increased a lot over the, you know, recent generations. And one interpretation of that would be that, well, consumers have gotten much more wasteful. They don't, you know, they don't care as much about food. But another interpretation would be that there's actually been these structural changes in our food system in terms of the way food is being produced, in terms of the way farm subsidies are set up, that have meant that, you know, food really has lost its value in the sense that it has become, you know, more and more common. You know, it has become more and more built into our system that food would go to waste like this.
So Zach on Facebook said, I am 100% for this movement. I have, quote unquote, dived for food and never gotten sick. If you take the proper precautions, you shouldn't ever get sick. Also, how many Americans buy food from a store that gets them sick anyways? Zach says, save landfills and your wallet. Alex, what would you say to Zach?
Well, I think that, you know, that is often the first thing that gets raised, which is that, you know, don't people get sick from dumpster diving? And I can say, you know, both in terms of my personal experience and having talked to a lot of freegans, that, you know, if you pay attention and you use your senses, it's, you know, I haven't encountered a lot of people who have gotten sick from it. And it is true also that, you know, there are problems with the safety of food that isn't coming from a dumpster. So obviously, I'm very, you know, very much in agreement with that comment.
And that's a lot of what you talk about in the book, Alex, is how food waste or waste food really has been fetishized as something dangerous and dirty and undesirable, whereas it could be the same tomato that just was on a shelf 5 minutes earlier. Someone could have bought it, but didn't. And now it's in the garbage.
Well, I think that's part of, you know, what drew me to freeganism itself. You know, I have to be honest, the first time I went to a freegan trash tour, there are these events that are organized in New York City where the freegans would actually take people outside of stores and show them how to dumpster dive and do a little display of all the things they found. The first time I went, I kind of thought that maybe we were going to find some banana peels and some rotten lettuce and, you know, some half-eaten loaves of bread or something. And actually, there was this incredible abundance of food that looked exactly like the food that I would have bought if I had gone into the store 5 minutes earlier. And I think that was a shocking realization. It's been a shocking realization for hundreds of people who have come on these freegan trash tours, to realize that the reason things are thrown out is not that they're not edible. It's not because they're dangerous. It's because they can't be profitably sold. That's the root cause of food waste.
Let's go to
that we produce food that in the end is more profitable to throw out than to give to hungry people or to sell.
Let's go to the phones, and Dennis in Appleton is with us. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Wondered if there's any data as far as waste in school service food programs.
And that's a great question, Dennis, and I think could be expanded into, you know, other institutions, too. Alex, is there any study done on that?
There is. I'm afraid that I can't give it to you off the top of my head. But institutional restaurants are a serious source of waste, and there's been a lot of reflection about, particularly in terms of schools, what are different things that could be used to reduce waste. So there's been talk about, you know, whether recess should happen before or after lunch. And it turns out that if you have recess before lunch, that reduces food waste. Things like that, but I don't have it off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Alex, you're joining us from France, where you're living and doing research. Recently, France has a new law that says that grocery stores must donate discarded food instead of throwing it out, and that they can't intentionally spoil food by pouring bleach on it, for example, to prevent people from foraging. Do you think that's something you could see working in the U.S. or maybe on a smaller scale in some communities?
Well, we already see that in the U.S., the impact of movements like Freegans and some more mainstream movements, but this sort of general ferment of people who are taking more interest in food and that are, you know, raising consciousness about the question of waste. We can already see that, you know, there are some cities like Seattle that have put into place food waste bans, and there are other sorts of initiatives that are happening. But I think we have to remember that, you know, these are things that are going to come from public pressure. It's often, you know, especially in terms of ethical consumption, we often think, oh, companies are just going to do this because it makes good business sense. But no.
Sorry, we have to end it there, Alex. Alex, thanks for joining us today. Alex Barnard is the author of Freegans, Diving into the Wealth of Food Waste in America.